Yeah, we went to Valley Ranch with some of our media colleagues for a unique and intriguing experience.
I wanted to go to this so badly yesterday.
Yeah, it was hastily put together.
Why didn't you? Was it a stuff invite only or?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. It seemed like everybody.
Could Seabass have gone?
Yeah.
There?
Yeah, you could have easily gone.
So why didn't you stuff?
Stuff.
Explain that.
Driving. Car
what,
stuff.
What does that mean?
Don't worry about it. God, don't bog.
It's Corona Ticket Fight Night. Middleweight maulers, heavyweight hitters, lightweight love taps, and girl on girl again. This never gets old. Thursday, August 30th at the Bomb Factory. Brought to you by Macho Self Storage, Buyer's Barricades, and Sports Radio 1310 at 96.7 FM, The Tip.
All right, 219. It is Sports Radio 1310, 96.7 FM, The Ticket. It's Bob and Jake. But right now, let's talk about Hard Knocks season, whatever it is, episode 2, as my overall quick view on this is this season is awesome. This is so good.
Number one!
Why do I think it's even better than previous Hard Knocks seasons, which I also loved? Why is that?
I think it's... Let me give you two attempts. They're related. The first would be that you have a team that has won one game in two seasons, and they're trying so desperately to get just some level of relevance rolling. The second would be because they have a ton of guys that you and I have been excited about and telling each other we're going to be good for like 3 years now. I mean... For me, it started with the analytics guys, with the guy from the Mets.
Yeah.
But I love John Dorsey also.
Mm-hmm.
I loved their owner's a clown, but just the idea that if you're willing to be really, really bad for long enough time, you're going to get a bunch of guys that at least on paper should be good. They just have to make it work. And then related to that is Baker.
Do you guys like John Dorsey's outfit?
It's the most old school football guy.
Do you realize that around the NFL... They all talk about it all the time.
He's
been doing it for years and years and years.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
Sweatshirt with the collared shirt with the collar coming out the top, and it's like it says Kansas City Chiefs on it when he's there, Green Bay Packers when he's there, and now it says Cleveland Browns. Just the gray NFL sweatshirt crew neck, and then you got your button down shirt because you're an executive. You have to wear a dress shirt to work, right? So it's underneath and the collar sticks out. That's John Dorsey. Look for it in any interview, any scene he's ever done in his life.
It doesn't seem as if appearance is a huge factor for him. And by the way, he's also in charge.
Yes.
He's in charge of their entire team. Hugh Jackson, you want to pull for him because of the sad story they showed you in episode 1 where he lost his mom just like 2 weeks after losing his brother. But I've never really thought he belonged being a head coach. I don't totally get it. I don't know that I think Todd Haley would be a great head coach either, but he's definitely more entertaining.
Todd Haley's the best. I probably wouldn't feel that way if I was a player, but Todd Haley seems like the best.
Yeah, it's... I know he got pretty crossways with everybody in Pittsburgh because he seems like a real red ass.
Oh, he definitely portrays the smartest guy in the room thing, doesn't he?
All right, so let's roll through a little bit of this audio.
Okay.
A big part of this story was that Corey Coleman, first-round pick in 2016 and Baylor grad, really, really has been terrible. He's been a massive, massive disappointment. They opened the show by showing you that he has 1,000 pairs of shoes, which that's a guarantee for every Hard Knocks is that... And I'm not going to be just defend the sneaker culture guy here, but it doesn't seem weird to anybody that people collect stamps and coins... And trains and guns and whatever else. But the guy who has a bunch of shoes, people are like, look at this idiot.
Oh, it's a new thing, man. It's a new thing. I don't think the last generation would have 1,000 pairs of shoes.
No, definitely not. They would have a bunch of other something trinket, you know. Maybe they collect Christmas ornaments. Or like I said,
a nice piece of fish.
your father collects trains, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't. Those don't have much utility other than just
so you're suggesting. So you, in your scenario here, you're suggesting nobody would make fun of a guy who fills his house with trains. That would be socially accepted as, wow, that's something I want to emulate in my life is collect trains.
I don't know. I guess I just thought of it as, like I said, my grandfather collected coins, and I thought it was odd, but I don't remember ever thinking anybody was In any case,
if he worked at the Ticket, they would have made fun of him.
That's
too.
Probably true. Corey Coleman has 1,000 pairs of shoes. None of them work in practice.
1,000.
He looked like he was literally wanted to be anywhere else but playing football. Let's see.
Giving up
here.
On a ball on the inside. It's in your chest.
It wasn't in my chest.
That's about what it's been. Okay, until you show me otherwise, I'll get excited. Right now, I'm not.
I think he looks around, easy to distract, it doesn't run. One of the goals, he looked like he was running 5 miles an hour. Yeah, we just got to get his brain right.
Yeah. Corey, what's happening, sports fan?
By the way, I need a ruling here. Did Hugh Jackson say what's happening, sports man or sports fan?
Sounded like
Corey.
Man.
Okay, hold on.
Corey. What's happening, sports fan?
That's an F. He said fan.
Sports fan?
Wow. What a weird thing to say.
A news anchor kicking off your broadcast?
So awkward.
All right, so now Corey Coleman is in the office.
Hey, sports fan.
Why am I running second team?
What did you say?
Why am I running second team? That's crazy to me.
Go get Todd in it. Go ask Todd. And then come back and get me.
If you don't want me to play, why won't y'all just trade me?
Training camp is underway, and while many Browns players are getting ready for their first preseason game, one player was told to pack his bags.
Yeah, the Corey Coleman experiment is over in Northeast Ohio. Within the last hour, the Browns have confirmed they're sending the 2016 first-round pick to the Bills.
Okay, you want us to trade you? What kind of guy can walk in and say, I got 33 catches on 73 targets for 413 yards on a zero-win team and say, why am I running second team right now?
And you just bust into the head coach's office, huh?
Why don't y'all just trade me? All right, please. But like before he even finished the sentence, they had the paperwork signed. Like, dude, we've got Jarvis. We know Callaway smokes pot. We don't even care. Just leave for a seventh round pick.
Boy, and how about the shot in the meeting room of all his teammates kind of having a laugh at that's all you got for him?
They're like, seventh. That's basically like, please just leave.
That's the guy you traded out of the Carson Wentz spot to go get Corey Coleman.
And did you see who said it? It was Emmanuel Ogba, who was their next pick in the 2016 draft.
Wow.
Who's actually got something.
So the reason they don't get anything in the trade, just so people understand why the price was so low, is he's got a guaranteed contract. These rookie contracts are now guaranteed for first rounders. So basically, Buffalo is taking the money off Cleveland's cap. You can't just cut him. And so you're literally willing to trade him for nothing, which they did just to get that money out of here, which is pretty bonkers if you think about it.
Yeah, especially, again, given that, you know, next up we have that Callaway, their fourth-round pick that would have been a first-round pick had he not been, you know, popped a couple times in college. He gets arrested and then decides he's just not going to tell the coaches about it and they'll figure it out.
Dude.
That was extremely uncomfortable. I mean, you could tell.
Yeah.
You could tell the whole time he's at practice, this dude knows that they know, and they just... That was extremely uncomfortable.
Yeah, and Callaway, again, to the draft nerds, they weren't lying last night when they said on the show, this guy probably is a top 50 talent, and because of getting in trouble in Florida, nobody wants to touch him. And how many guys like this show up in every NFL draft? Like, they're really, really talented guys. You said, if this guy could just be a professional, he can work until he's 30 and make, you know, well over $1 million each one of those years till he's 30. He just doesn't seem to get it. Now, that might be upbringing or environment, or maybe it's just his personality is wired in a certain way, but you already see the maintenance level. Because the entire episode was, how do we reach this kid? He's so good at football. Can we possibly make him understand this gold mine he's sitting on, like this lottery ticket that he has in his hand? And this is the endless discussion, isn't it? I mean, this is sports. This is professional sports. Is, do you want to take a chance on this kid who so many other people said they took a chance on him and it wasn't worth their time? And now, are you going to get in line because he's so good at football? But if so, you better help him deal with those other, you know, 350 days a year when there's not a game.
And you want me to believe that you picked your car up from your buddy and they found a roach in there.
And it's not yours.
It's not mine, though.
Wasn't there also, like, gun parts in there as well? They left that out of there. But I believe in the news story,
That part might be legal, though, so I don't know if that part needs to be included. All right, before we go to break, though, Todd Haley, we were just referencing him. Having Todd Haley and Carl Nassib and a side of Baker Mayfield is just fantastic. We start with Nassib, and then we get to Todd Haley clowning on him a little bit.
I'm getting dumber. Like, I've had to start reading shit because I noticed I was getting stupider. Stupider is a word? Is it not?
By the way, this is our investment counselor. Our financial advisor here is the guy who says, I'm getting dumber.
Is Nassib's name Carl? Can you imagine seeing a little baby and like, oh, look, let's name him Carl. Look at this baby. Let's name him Carl. Oh, Gucci, Gucci, Goo, Carl. How do you, like, it seems like you'd only get that name, like, later in life.
Dude, he has a comedian's delivery. I'm trying to place what comedian he reminds me of, but he's like, oh, Carl. He's in Carl. I mean, I'm just like, it's Carl.
Look at this baby. Let's name him Carl. Oh, Gucci, Gucci, Goo, Carl. How do you, like, it seems like you'd only get that name, like, later in life.
Like Swiss boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's a whole nother story over here.
What, Brogan?
Yeah. Like, oh, look at it. Look at the baby. He's so cute. He has no hair. Let's call him Brogan.
What's your real nickname? Broby?
And put a Broby. Put Broby.
Broby? How do you want to spell?
B-R-O-B-I-E. I think you should capitalize the B-R-O part, though.
Yes, the four-string quarterback, Broby.
If you don't mind hashtagging that, too, please.
Wants to be known as, that's no way that's a real person.
I will not buy one share of Brogan.
Of Brogan, who wants to be known as Broby.
Broby.
All right, when we continue, we have more from Carl Nassib as someone wants to debunk his Dave Ramsey knowledge.
Good luck.
And then we have stuff from the actual game, which include Baker Mayfield being welcomed to the league next.
Do you think Todd Haley has picked out curtains for the head coach's office yet?
Well,
he's actually using Hugh Jackson's hang upside down thing. What is that, Jake? Do you do that in your workout?
No, that's for your back.
You don't hang back there and do some crunches?
No, he's strapped in, man. That's for your back. That's like it's for back pain. Inversion therapy is what they call it.
Huh.
Yeah, that's not. But it was classic to see them walk in and he's hanging upside down asking about how they're going to play the fourth string quarterback. What are we going to do about Broby?
So Gavin Belson.
Yeah, very much.
He's got Blood Boy next to him.
Yeah, that he's got Drew Stanton in there next to him just hooked up. So yeah, we're getting back to Hard Knocks here. Episode 2, right before their game with the Giants. And right before that game is when they find out that fourth round pick, is it Anthony Callaway?
Antonio
Callaway has been cited for possession of marijuana, not arrested, but not a great look. And who knows what's happening with Josh Gordon. So there's a lot of
moving parts.
Very topsy-turvy wide receiver core situation, especially after the trade of Corey Coleman. So here's John Dorsey and a personnel assistant talking over the options for wide receiver.
So let me hear from your perspective. What are the options here at the receiver position?
No, we already done work on that.
Let me see it.
Well, come on. This is stuff we put together earlier.
Don't get scared now. Come on. You're overthinking it.
But that's not exact. This is...
This guy has zero confidence, by the way.
This is his analytics guy who's been asked
see,
to.
We've put it together, but we don't feel great. It was kind of before. Just give me the damn paper.
He wasn't... All right.
Get scared now.
As part of the analytics, sports nerds can actually work in sports movement. Can I just ask for a little bit more confidence out of analytics guys? He sits there and he's scared to use his outdoor voice to talk to the coach.
You're talking to a guy in a 20-year-old logo athletic sweater with bacon neck. You're going to need to have a little bit more than, wow, we
You're overthinking it.
That's not exact. This is like potential trade targets and stuff.
You don't have Dez Bryant on here.
No, he's there at the bottom, man. Dez. He's under Dez. Basically 30, and he's...
He's 29.
He's 29.7.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So my read on that is analytics guy wants no part of Dez. John Dorsey wants him some Dez.
It's certainly edited to make you think John Dorsey really wants Dez Bryant. I wonder.
At least that he's interested.
I'd like to see a little more evidence than that. But, well, yeah, when he corrects, no, 29. It's 29. He isn't at 30 yet. He's good.
They're meeting Thursday, and as they reiterated, the last basically 4 or 5 minutes of this episode were about what happens next with Dez. Is that Dez Bryant's music? So next week's episode will feature their meeting with Dez after they played Twitter recruiting back and forth. And
can I just prepare you for the possibility? You at least have to be prepared for the possibility that he's going to work out and they're not going to sign him.
That's certainly a possibility.
What happens to the Dez camp when that happens? Browns pass on him.
I think that's the likelihood. And I don't think it'll be based on a workout. I think it'll be based on him
still
saying, I want more than you're willing to give me. But let's take it a cosmic brain step further and say that Roc Nation has actually been waiting to get him signed so that he can bust in during a nationally televised on Technicolor episode of Hard Knocks. And we have the entire thing going down right there.
Okay.
Yeah. Marketing 101,
I'm
Bob.
Curious what plan B will be, but maybe they won't need plan
Retirement.
B. Okay.
I'm betting. So before the game with the Giants, they're getting ready in the locker room. And here again is Carl Nassib, the defensive end linebacker who is told us last week that if you put 10% of your money back and do that every single year for 7 years, you can double your money. Now, I'm not exactly sure how he's making that 10%. I don't know anything about finance. I believe your index fund is going to get you like what, 6 or 7% or something like that if you just don't touch it.
Well, I actually did a little research on this very topic.
And then you fired your guy?
Do you want to play the audio first and then I can show you my findings?
Yeah.
Okay.
Isn't it 7?
This is another lineman right here. Is it
Fabiano
from Harvard. Anthony Fabiano says he's got a little bit of an issue with the math.
Isn't it 7% every 10 years, not 10% every 7 years?
What? It's called the rule of 7. If you get 10% on your returns, you double it every 7 years. Fight Tony Robbins about it. He's my hero.
Okay.
If you get a 10%, like, if you find that, you got to hang on to that for dear life.
Yeah, that's how the rich people do it, bro.
That doesn't even like exist anywhere, though.
What are you talking about?
Low cost
index fund, bro. 10% over the last 90 years. 9.8% over the last 90 years.
What do you mean who?
What do you mean who?
Yeah, that was when the economy was
for the last 90 years.
Do you know the state of the economy 90 years ago? So I was just wondering specifically, and it's simply the S&P 500 index, like the most basic.
This is all I do.
Index you could ever buy is just basically a basket that has
just tracking
the S&P index in it, and the average return on the S&P since 1928. Now that's odd sample size.
90 years, bro.
It gets, yeah, but why not 100? I'm curious. Right before the Depression, so I don't, as somebody who manipulates sample sizes all the time to fit my needs, I'm a little curious about that, but it does average 9.8%.
There you go.
Over the course of 90 years. What's odd about it is it's always either way above it or way below it. It seldom falls in that 5 to 10% return, almost never.
That's the point, though, right?
But yes,
but
it averages 9.8%, so he's actually right.
Yeah, well, take that, Harvard.
Bro. So when you're 130, you're going to have a lot of money, defensive lineman.
And then the actual game starts that we were all watching, all very excited for, could not wait for Baker to get into the game. And this is him talking to a ref before the game.
How you Welcome doing? To the National Football League.
Appreciate
gun.
That. Thank you.
All right. You need anything?
I'm good right now.
Can you play a little bit?
A little bit, yeah.
All right, I'm going to give you 10 seconds. That tells you that we're coming to the end of the commercial.
All right.
Boom. So you got 10 seconds. Call your play hustle. You need any questions, just ask me.
All right.
I'll help you out. Have fun and ball it out,
appreciate
man.
Appreciate it.
All right.
He might need a little bit more of a heads up than that.
What's that?
He might need a little more
you
of a heads
up. I got to give him.
Some people think I'm a little slower than others.
That's something that this is a show that I think a lot of wives watch. And that's something that she was like, I never considered that they actually have to kind of meet them and talk to them and kind of tell them, hey, I'm going to give you this heads up. And I think if you watch games, you see players talking to referees all the time. But especially your first time in an NFL game, I don't think a lot of people realize that that's a completely different experience. An NFL referee.
Oh, yeah.
And he's telling, and do you think it's a new development that NFL referees are like, just ball it out, bro.
Ball it
just
out.
Just go up there and ball it out. I doubt that Hockey Lee has ever said that to a rookie.
I think it's great.
Ball it out, Chief. I'm going to give you 10 seconds and do your thing.
I also like if, and I'm not positive Baker Mayfield's ever cared about what looks good, what bedside manner looks quarterbacky or field generally, but taking the road of a quarterback might not be that smart is always a winner on the NFL film stuff. Even if you are really smart, that plays well, especially with the linemen. They love dumb quarterback jokes.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Look, the richest guy in the room needs to be self-deprecating, or he's going to be hated.
Right.
And then we roll to halftime, where Greg Williams, you guessed it, is not all that pleased, and it's our first just absolute meltdown from Coach Bounty right here.
Get your ass back there, you f***ing goofball! When you look at your...
Goofball. We were lamenting earlier that Slap D seems to have left the football vernacular, but bringing goofball back...
Ass back there, you f***ing goofball! When you look at yourself on film and you wonder why I cut your f***ing ass, you look at effort first. I'm gonna kill him at halftime.
It's halftime.
Hey! Get your ass in at halftime and get seated.
If you're on defense, get the f*** over here.
We're walking around. Get to the f***ing huddle. When you don't get in and out of the huddle, when you don't substitute, when you don't communicate, when you don't fight, you don't belong. And I don't care what athletic ability you have. Young guys, this is not college football anymore. So we need to understand, and we need to make a decision that I have a focus and I have an energy to go out and play our way. Do we understand that?
My favorite part of that scene was you can see in the background, Baker Mayfield kind of dips his head in there to see, wow.
That's, yeah.
that looks a little different than what than what Todd Haley or really anybody has ever done
Norman.
To me.
No, yeah. I love I do love the thing that – honestly, I do wonder if it happens enough with the Cowboys, although All or Nothing at least showed that occasionally someone raises their voice at them. But I do think it's important to let a player know, especially on a lax practice, that we're paying you guys. And even though part of that means everyone's going to have a nice car and a nice house and everything like that, it also means we're going to expect more of you than was expected of you in college.
Yeah.
So step it up, young man. And also, don't get mad if I say a naughty word in your direction, because toughen up.
Especially when you're dealing with so many young dudes who were drafted in the first couple, two, three rounds from big-time schools. I mean, they are loaded with guys who were the best player on their college team. So that's important. So you hear Greg Williams yelling there. Let's flash back to last week whenever he was yelling so hard on day three that he lost his voice.
After this period, defensive walkthrough down here on this end. Defense, let's go.
Damn. Defense, I know, it pisses me the f*** off.
30 consecutive years, I don't ever learn. It's always on day three.
Really?
Forever. Hey, coaches, could you hire the damn package? Hey, now, are you going to start with the defense out there?
No, you
did. No, I got a lozenge, bitch.
I think that was the highlight of last week, right?
Yeah.
And so this week, you might have seen the story that he had, he received a package from a company. I believe he explained it here. This isn't a meeting.
Did I tell you guys this morning about the lozenges? Evidently, I said something about not having a voice, and one of you guys were ripping me about lozenges. So I said, I got lozenges, bitch, or something like that.
Or something, I don't know.
So there's a big company in South L.A. that sends me two boxes of lozenges. Okay, upstairs wanting to make sure my voice is all right, so I appreciate that. Okay, I appreciate that. Yeah. I got two free boxes of lozenges. That's good. Hey, and if it's free, it's me. If it's free, it's me.
Can't tell you how many times I've heard my dad use that. Hey, you know what? It's free, it's me.
No, you do.
No, I got a lozenge, bitch.
It's absolute classic. It's Hard Knocks on HBO, and it is every Wednesday here on Bad Radio.
So good.